What is going on, everyone? We are back with another special episode of Nerd Tweet in a Movie Podcast. And the reason why we're here with a special little episode is because I realize I haven't spoken about my Mandalorian theories because I was supposed to do that on my friend's podcast, and we got just talking about everything else Star Wars. So I am going to come out and make a few predictions that I think we'll be seeing very soon that connect with everything we will see in the future. Now, I have to preface this by saying that I am privy to some of the extended trailer stuff that we didn't get to see in the Ahsoka trailer, but that doesn't really have much to do per se with my theories and how they all work together. So I pointed out on earlier episodes where I did talk about The Mandalorian that I thought it was awkward and really kind of just brushed away by a lot of people that the Purrgil showed up with Grogu. Now, the reason why I think that is such a big key point that a lot of people are missing is because of the way that we learned about the Purrgil in Star Wars Rebels and their connection with Ezra and how Ezra used them to take Thrawn and himself into parts unknown. And the end of Rebels, we see Sabine and Ahsoka for what seems to be like them starting their journey to go find Ezra and, for that case, Thrawn. Now, we have known for a while that the Ahsoka series is going to have the live action depictions of some of our favorite Rebel characters, and we got little clips of that, so we know that's happening. We know that it's basically a live action Rebels Ahsoka is. We'll get to see live action Thrawn played by the same voice actor who did him for the Rebel series, which is going to be absolutely amazing. I cannot wait to see that. But I think we're going to get a little bit more connective tissue on this week's episode of The Mandalorian. This week's episode, which is the second to last episode, is written by Dave Filoni. So I've been saying for a while that I feel like there's a connection with all of these stories and that it's not just individual things that people are complaining about, you know, like that these are side quests that don't mean much. They're setting up other things and they're using the Mandalorian to do it, which I don't really see as big of a problem. But that's neither here nor there, but to my theory. So, I believe that the Purrgil have a connection with the Force. Not so much as they, you know, can use the Force, but they have a connection with it. And we saw that when Ezra first interacted with them in the Rebels episode, he legitimately was communicating with them. And they protected him and saved his life, you know. And then I talked about how Grogu, when he was in the spaceport of the where the droid goes, that he, you know, he looks around, he sees the Purrgil, and then that's when he goes and lays down, alluding to maybe that he had a conversation with them and knows that they are, for lack of a better term, protecting him. He is very important to the fabric of the Force at this point in the timeline. We don't know what's going to happen. We just found out that there's going to be a new trilogy with Rey at the focal point, rebuilding the Jedi Order. And honestly, I'm excited. I liked Rey. I never understood the backlash, why she was hated by so many people. I thought she was great, but that's neither here nor there. But when it comes to Grogu, now, Grogu, I believe, communicated with the Purrgil, and then what's going to happen is Ahsoka is going to show up in this episode of The Mandalorian and talk about how she's looking for Thrawn, looking for Ezra, looking for this, looking for that, and then Grogu is going to kind of, I don't know if he's going to talk, but he's going to see, he's going to make a sound that's going to make Ahsoka look at him like, what? And they're going to communicate with the Force, and she's going to learn from Grogu the location of Ezra, or at least where to start looking for him, because the Purrgil told him. Now, in what I was told, because I obviously didn't see it, the extended trailer for Ahsoka showed live action Purrgils. So we're definitely, and not like a silhouette, like legit live action Purrgil's. So that kind of adds a little extra fuel to my fire that that's what's going on. And I also, excuse me, I also had a theory that, Jar Jar Binks is actually the reason that Grogu is alive. And we find out that the Grogu, Jar Jar ends, like, spends his winding days entertaining children on the streets of Naboo. Now, he always interacted better with the children. They didn't quite make fun of him as much as the adults did. He is pretty much responsible for the destruction of the Republic and the birth of the Empire. So it's legitimately possible that he was there and heard what Palpatine was planning to have Anakin do. So he got word to the Jedi. Because if you notice in the episode where Grogu has his flashback, there were four Jedi that were assigned to protect this one little youngling. And then the guy, the head of all of the training of the younglings, the highest Jedi in that part of the order, is the one who is sent to get him directly. Now, the connection here to Jar Jar, again, is a little bit obvious that the actor who played Kelrin Best was the actor who also played Jar Jar Binks, Ahmad Best. So that's in a little connection. But he says that we're going to go see my friends. And when he pulls up to his friends, they're draped in Naboo armor. And Kelrin leaves in a Naboo yacht that is almost identical, if not identical, to the one that that Padme uses to fly to Mustafar. Now, obviously, it wouldn't have been Anakin that sent him. Couldn't have been Padme, because she wouldn't have known. Well, who else is there? So that would mean, if that is the case, that he spent, and he was also exiled from his people yet again after what he did to help bring about the Empire. So he spent the last of his days entertaining children on the streets of Naboo, being exiled and hated by most human adults, most adults across the universe. But he saved Grogu. So he wins. That's my opinion on that. But when we talk about, you know, these connective tissues, and Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau have done an amazing job, and anyone who complains about this season of The Mandalorian is out of their fucking mind. I'm sorry. I don't have the patience anymore to just, like, oh, well, maybe it's just not for... If you don't like this episode, this season of The Mandalorian, then you don't like Mandalorians, and you probably don't like Star Wars, because there's been so many great... What, because there's been no Jedi? What, because Luke hasn't made a cameo yet? Well, guess what? You're going to get your Jedi this episode when Ahsoka Tano shows back up to talk to Grogu. I don't understand. Like, there have been, in this season, there have been so many moments where I literally leapt out of my seat and was almost yelling and cheering. Like, when we saw the Mythosaur, that floored me. In this last episode, this week, when Bo was given that whole speech about how, like, it's rightfully hers, and I still, like, literally, the hairs on my arms, and I get goosebumps. They just stand up. I've watched it 4 or 5 times, and it still happens every time. Because it's the realization of all these different properties coming together. And it's just, I don't understand the hate. I mean, and then, like, with this episode, people were like, oh, it felt like it was so stupid. Why they do that? Oh, they had Lizzo and Jack Black. Yeah. We should be lucky to have people of that caliber wanting to appear in Star Wars. You know what that does? Just for the record, know what that does, at the very least, it brings in their fans who didn't know about Star Wars into it. Do you want to know how they keep making Star Wars content, even if the ones you don't like? By getting people to fucking watch it. So yeah, they're going to put Lizzo in it. Because think about it. There are thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of Lizzo fans that watched this week's episode of The Mandalorian because she was in it. And now they're going to go back and watch the whole thing because it's that good. And then Christopher Lloyd, oh my God, we had Doc Brown in Star Wars. What? Who's complaining? Why? I mean, I don't know about y'all, man, but I remember there was a time when all we had was the original trilogy and the books. And now we literally get a new episode of freaking Star Wars content every fucking week. And y'all complaining about it? Yo, again, no offense, but I remember when it was just the original trilogy, which I love, but it has its problems. Nothing in Star Wars is perfect. The only thing that's even remotely close is Empire, and even that has its flaws. So when you're over here complaining about the Mandalorians, like, oh, it's the Mandalorian, you a punk-ass bitch. I'm sorry. If your answer to what's wrong with it or why you don't like it, oh, it's mid, or, oh, there wasn't a cameo. If those are your reasons why you don't like something, then you just don't like entertainment. That's all there is to it. It's not that you don't like Star Wars. I'm sorry if it didn't appeal to you this episode. This is a story. It's telling a grander picture. And everything that's happened up to this point in this season has been necessary. Because think about it. Everything is connected. And let me circle back around to another part that people are glossing over. Okay, when Bo-Katan's castle was bombed, they were interceptors and they were a whole fucking fleet. And Din even makes a comment about that's a lot for just an average warlord. Because it's not. It's freaking one of these big bads, and it's either the start of the First Order, where it's the start of Snoke and all of that, which the cloning process is obviously clear. And then people are talking about, oh, that episode with Dr. Pershing was such a waste of an episode. No, it's a brilliant episode because it gave you this backstory and made you feel bad for this doctor even more than you already did. But then you also realize how much power the Emperor still had even after his downfall. I mean, there were freaking patrols that were just ignoring that freaking what's-her-name was even there. Like, these are people that are supposed to be for the New Republic that are still loyal to the Empire. All of that's important for how the First Order happens. And if you have a problem, if your issue is because that they're fixing the sequels, well, you're only going to be angrier with the fact that we're getting more in that part of the universe, as well as the High Republic, which I told y'all was going to happen. None of y'all dang listen to me, but whatever. Man, and then, so when we get that, it's probably Thrawn that was doing that. You know, it's everything's connected. And there's little extra things that people like are complaining about are honestly important. Like, listen, people were like, oh, why was that spider monster important? Well, because it allowed Din to get rid of the Darksaber the way he wanted to do and give it to her without having to fight her. And it went correctly. And she didn't have the same issue she did the first time when Sabine gave her the Darksaber. Like, it just seems that there's so many people that are just so angry with no matter what happens. Is The Mandalorian perfect? Absolutely not. Are the sequels perfect? Absolutely not. Are the originals perfect? No. What about the prequels? Are those perfect? Fuck no. But it's Star Wars. It's Star Wars. There is literally one property in Star Wars that I don't like, and it's the freaking holiday special that we don't talk about. Like, I talk about this all the time. Like, I can sit through a horrible movie for a great payoff at the end. The Attack of the Clones is not a very good movie. It's hard to watch in some parts, even unbearable. But you know what you did get? You know what you do get? You get Yoda fighting for the first time and hopping around with his lightsaber. I will sit through the rest of that horrible movie to get that and be happy that I watched the entire movie to get to that. But do you not finish the movie? Like, people forget that this is an episodic like release schedule. These are short little bits. Like, if they broke up Attack of the Clones into little bits like that, man, I wouldn't watch the rest of the movie. Episode 1 and 2 are the beginning, man. I'm done. I'm not watching episode 3. That's how y'all would look at this. It's the same concept. You don't let the story play out before you bitch about it. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Just be happy we got Star Wars. And if you don't like it so much to the point where you have to come on and bash everything about Star Wars, oh, Rey's the worst Jedi because Rey's the worst Star Wars, Mary Sue. If that's all that you want to do, then just fucking stop watching Star Wars, man. If you want to get like all upset and, oh, it's woke or oh, it's this or whatever, just go somewhere else. The fandom is toxic enough without you. And, you know, like, if you want to come in and give an actual legitimate critique, I'm all ears. If there's someone out there who genuinely dislikes all these new Star Wars properties and can give me actual reasons and not just, oh, it's mid. You got a problem with the cinematography, got a problem with the acting, the casting, the directing, the script. You got something legitimate? Please, please, I beg of you, come and talk to me. I'll even bring you on the show. We can talk about it live. I don't understand what happened along the way where we all just stop enjoying shit. And this is coming from, like, y'all don't, like, not many people may listen or watch this really know me on this deep a level, but for me to be saying this, I usually don't enjoy anything. Like, besides comic book conventions, like, I'll go sit outside on my balcony and see a couple holding hands and tra-la-la-la, all super happy. I'll be like, ew, that's gross. But you know what? Even I'm saying, either enjoy it or just stop. Enjoy Star Wars for what it is. A entertaining story of fantasy with some samurais sprinkled on top, and just enjoy it. And if you can't, I feel sorry for you. But man, with everything they dropped and then talked about Star Wars Celebration, I mean, you got the High Republic, you got the Old Republic, you got the Acolytes, you got, I mean, shit, it's just so much amazing Star Wars content right around the corner. So, like I said, if you aren't enjoying it, get out now before it gets really good, because you're not going to be, you know, any happier with the better content we're about to get. I mean, the Ahsoka series in August is going to be probably the greatest Star Wars property we've ever had. At least that's my early opinion. I mean, based off the trailer alone and Filoni's respect for, he created these characters for the most part. So if anyone is going to have a love and devotion and care for these characters, it's going to be him. And he is going to be directing a live action end of the Mandoverse, whatever you want to call it. This little timeline we've got going on with the Book of Boba Fett and Mandalorian and the Ahsoka show, it's all going to culminate in one final movie. directed by Dave Filoni. I'm in. You had me at Dave Filoni. All right. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to this week's episode of The Mandalorian. And before I wrap up, I want to say, man, Dave, Mr. Filoni, I know you'll probably never see this, but I really just want to say thank you. And I will never forgive you. You know what you did. Clone Force 99. You broke my heart. Until next time.